escape the craziness of New York City and get out into this beautiful spot. No, I think the only ones in our audience here that have heard me share, probably the middle school kids. You guys remember me?
Yeah.
You guys were stuck with me for 4 sessions 2 years ago, and I recall having to toss a couple of you during the class. Well, it wasn't you guys, was it? Hopefully we won't have to repeat that episode. But yeah, I think the Himmler brother Eric led us in where it talks about Jesus being our message, Jesus being our theme, and Jesus being our all in all. That is pretty much exactly what I'm hoping to share upon this weekend. And you know, this verse I picked, I think when our brother asked me to share several months back, I gave him this verse because it basically allows me to share on anything. The theme is basically knowing him, you know, how we can get to know him. And one of the thoughts, initially I wanted to share on what eternal life is, because it wasn't until later on in my Christian walk that I began to understand what eternal life is. So how many of you are middle schoolers here? Raise your hand. You. Okay. So when I was your age, you know, I thought I understood what eternal life is. And maybe your guys' definition of eternal life is the same one that I had. And that's, I become a Christian, and when I die, I get to go to heaven. And I get to live forever. And that's eternal life. And the opposite of eternal life is I die and I go to hell and perish. Right? That's John 3:16. It's one or the other, right? Those who believe in him do not perish but have everlasting life. So I thought it was a life after this one, life after this current one that the Lord has given us here on earth. But you know, it wasn't later on in my life until the Lord showed me this verse, and it's John 17 verse 3. This is eternal life. So I think we need to pay attention, because our Lord Jesus, he's defining this for his disciples. This is eternal life, that they should know thee, and he's speaking of his heavenly Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So this is eternal life, that they should know God, and know the true God. And so then it kind of redefines what I understood about eternal life. Because when do we start to know God? It's not after we die. So eternal life doesn't start, you know, after we die and there's some funeral for us and then we enter into eternal life. Eternal life starts the moment we know him. Okay? The moment you're saved, eternal life begins. And our Lord Jesus here states it as clear as day. This is eternal life, that they should know thee. So eternal life is knowing God. And so, you know, I think the sooner we come to this understanding, the greater it will impact our walk with the Lord. Because then you have this new perspective on what eternal life is. And so for this weekend, though, the Lord kind of shifted my burden. And I still want us to focus on coming into a greater knowledge of who he is, but he showed me some specific things he would like me to share. And that is, in the book of John, where we find this verse, the Lord Jesus refers to himself as many things. You know, we sang in both of those hymns earlier some of the names of our Lord Jesus. He is the healer. He is the counselor. He's our Savior. And throughout the Bible, we find many names given to our Lord. And In the book of John, however, there are seven times where the Lord Jesus says, I am. Right? And I think you guys are all probably pretty familiar with these. And I'm hoping that throughout the weekend, we will share upon, you know, how our Lord Jesus refers to himself. Okay? I'll give you guys all seven first, and then we'll kind of go through them and see how far we can get with each of them. The first time Jesus says, I am, is found in John chapter 6. He says, I am the bread of life. And the second one is, I am the light of the world. This is found in John chapter 8 and 9. And we'll go in chronological sequence. The third is, I am the door of the sheep, found in John chapter 10. Right? And in conjunction with that one, he says, I am the good shepherd. Right? Then in John chapter 11, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And then in John 14, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Right? And in John chapter 15, the seventh I am is, I am the true vine. And the Lord prompted me to consider in my own life what it means for him to be that I am. Right, so I'm going to ask the middle schoolers, when is the first time in the Bible God reveals himself as I am? You guys remember who he revealed himself to? That's right, Moses. He revealed himself to Moses as the I am at the burning bush. You guys remember that? But if you think about that point in Moses' life, you know, he was pretty old at that point. But we remember when Moses grew up, he was not in the wilderness tending sheep. He actually grew up in the palace of the Pharaoh. You guys remember that? He was brought up very privileged. He was considered the son or stepson or grandson of Pharaoh, right? Because it was Pharaoh's daughter that took him out of the river and raised him. And so he grew up with all the treasures of Egypt. He grew up having the best education that a young person at that time could have. And he grew up in the most powerful nation at that time. And I think some of us probably have a similar upbringing. We might not be, children of a king or president or whatever else, but you know, we are quite privileged to grow up in the society we're growing up in today. You know, my wife and I get to visit some countries in the Middle East and Africa as part of her work, and we get to see some real poverty. You know, I think in this country we don't see that type of poverty. And I won't go into the details, but I think we grow up quite privileged. You know, we have clothes on our back, we eat really good food, and we go to the best schools. I see an NYU and a Harvard here. And so I think the best education of that time is reflected probably here in this room. A lot of you have probably gone to really good schools. So I wanted to ask you guys a question, though. Can someone like Moses, a young Moses, who was very privileged, who had everything in the palm of his hand, you know, could the Lord reveal himself to this type of person as I am? You know, if the Lord were to come to a young Moses and say, I am your strength, you know, Moses would probably scoff at the Lord and say, well, you know, thanks, Lord, but I don't have any need of that. You know, I have the might of the nation of Israel at my disposal. No other nation or army could stand before me. You know, if he was the grandson of the Pharaoh, you know, he probably was trained in all sorts of military aspects, and he was probably a very strong and able young man. You know, if the Lord came to this young Moses and said, I am your confidence, Moses would probably laugh and say, you know, no need, Lord. know, I'm young, I'm brilliant, I'm confident. I don't need you to be my confidant. And if the Lord were to say to Moses, I am your wisdom, you know, Moses would probably boast, you know, no thanks, Lord. I'm educated in the best institute in this world. I'm educated in the ways of you know, the royalty of Pharaoh. You know, he doesn't have any need for the Lord. And if the Lord were to say to a young Moses, I am your comfort, Moses probably would have laughed and said, I live in the palace of a king. You know, I live in the most comfortable place that the world has to offer. If the Lord were to say to this young Moses, I am your source of riches, Moses would have boasted of the wealth of Egypt, you know, the mightiest nation in this world. And if the Lord said to this young Moses, I am your peace, I am your sense of security, Moses probably would have also laughed and said, no thanks, Lord. I'm the son of the Pharaoh, you know, the mightiest man on the face of the earth. I have peace. I have security that no one else has. So, you know, the Lord would have had a really tough time revealing himself to a young Moses as the I am. This young, confident, capable Moses, he had no need for God to help him with anything. And sometimes we as young believers find ourselves in a similar state. You know, we might also boast of our upbringing like Moses. We weren't raised in the palace of a king, but certainly we have the best education. You know, we have all our basic needs taken care of, and then beyond that, when we attend the best schools, the best colleges, we live in the greatest country, you know, we train for the best careers and jobs, you know, do we really have a need for the Lord to be our I? You know, the Lord wants to be that I am in our lives, but oftentimes he has a hard time reaching us because we don't need those things. You know, the Lord could not reveal himself to a young Moses as that I am. And so our Lord had to wait. He had to patiently wait. We all recall what happened to Moses when he turned 40. And when he turned 40, he committed a crime. He committed murder. Now all of a sudden, he was banished from the kingdom of Pharaoh. You guys remember that story, right? He was considered a prince in Egypt, and now he was an outcast. He was an exile, fugitive, on the run. And, you know, one cannot imagine a steeper drop than what happened to Moses, right? From the comfort of Pharaoh's palace, all of a sudden, he's on the run and in the wilderness. And in Exodus, it tells us that he fled to the land of Midian, where he became a shepherd. He met the priests in Midian and married his daughter, Zipporah. And his firstborn, he named Gershom. And Gershom means, I have been a sojourner in a foreign land. So from the comforts of the palace, he became this exile in a foreign place. You know, I think some of us who have gone away from home, and so for the older ones, how many of you guys left home for college? A few of you. So you guys may have had the experience I had. I was 17 when I left home. And for me, some of you know my father. And so I grew up in Seattle. And when I was 17, I went down to California to go to school. And when I started college at Berkeley, I was there in the Bay Area. I can still remember to this day that moment when my parents dropped me off, and up until that point I had been under their care and under their wing. But as a 17-year-old, that fall, it was 1993. Some of you were probably not even in existence then. But it was that fall where my parents dropped me off in my dorm room, they left. And it was like, whoa, you know, I'm all by myself for the first time in my life in a pretty foreign place, right? And I'm pretty sure I had tears in my eyes. And I had to call out to the Lord because my sense of strength and confidence and security and peace, these were all stripped away for the first time in my life. I was 17 years old. But I can only imagine those tears that Moses must have shed during that second phase in his life, right? From the, you know, as a shepherd dwelling in these tents in the wilderness, I'm sure he was reminded of those good old days back in Pharaoh's palace. You know, all sense of strength and security were stripped away from Moses, it seems like, overnight. All his riches, all his confidence, and all his comforts were all stripped away. And over the course of the next 40 years, he spent every single day tending sheep. Sheep in the morning, sheep in the afternoon, sheep in the evening. Sheep, 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 nothing else. So even all the wisdom and all the education he had acquired in Egypt was probably all gone by the time he became 80. Right? From the age of 40 to 80, he learned nothing but the sounds of the sheep. Right? All his worldly education was gone. But it was at the age of 80 where Moses could barely speak anymore that God could reveal himself to Moses as the I Am. Right? It's only when he was broken, he was incapable, he was poor, he was insecure, this was when the Lord could reveal himself. You know, I think as we go through our lives, you know, the Lord does that work of stripping as well. You know, we always start out as very confident, very invincible, like a young Moses. We feel like we're ready to conquer the world. And I was certainly that way. I think in my high school years, I felt like I could do anything. Then the Lord allows circumstances to happen in your life where those things, that self-confidence is stripped away. You know, when I was a student in high school, like many of you, I had mostly A's. I had good grades. You know, I think I'll bet if I were to pull this audience on, I'm sure you guys all have 4.0s. But you know, when I arrived at Berkeley, I felt like everyone was a valedictorian. Everyone was at the top of their class, and everyone had a 4.0. It was very abundantly clear early on that I wasn't the only one that was brilliant. You know, I thought of myself as brilliant, but when I was surrounded by all these really smart folks, I quickly discovered I couldn't keep up. You know, I saw that dreaded letter C on my report card for the first time in my life. And, you know, that confidence that I had as a high school kid was completely gone. That wisdom I thought I had was completely gone. That brilliance I thought I had was completely gone. And, you know, that invincibility is stripped away. And the Lord allows these things to happen. You know, and in this, in the place of that were all these worries, you know, all these insecurities. And I think as you go through, you know, some of the older ones will probably have similar experiences. The younger ones, they're still invincible. They can still conquer the world. But some of us who are older, we realize, I'm not the only person in the world that's brilliant. There are a lot of really smart people out there, and you know, it really strips away that pride. And also, when I first left Seattle, I had like you guys, we had a youth group similar to this. You know, we hung out, we went to church together, we played ball together, we went to movies together, and we had our retreats just like this together, and It was like a comfort zone. But when I left as a 17-year-old, that comfort zone was also completely stripped away. like for the first time in my life, I was alone. I didn't have, you know, friends here that I knew. And then also growing up in Seattle, you know, I spent 17 years in that city, and I knew that city well. I knew it with the back of my hand. And as soon as I turned 16, at that point, I think they allowed you to have a driver's license at 15 and a half. And so most of us were driving at 15 and a half. I don't know what it is in New Jersey, but in Washington State, we could get a license. And so we knew the city inside and out. And again, when I left for college, I was in a place where I didn't know anything. I was lost for the first time. So my friends were gone. The city I knew was gone. Sense of belonging was gone, sense of security, all of that was stripped away. And it's really tough when your family and your friends and everything around you is torn away. And that's at least how I felt. So I got, a small sense of maybe what Moses experienced, but clearly not that big a drop. You know, but I remember thinking that it was during this time that I really turned to the Lord for the first time. I really began to lean on Him. I really began to know Him as I am. You know, He wants us to know Him as I am. You know, and I am means you fill in the blank. Whatever you need, if you have a lack of peace, He says, I am your peace. You know, if you have a lack of knowledge, I am your wisdom. You get to fill that in, and that's what He wants to be to you. He wants to be that all in all to you. And so, you know, it wasn't until Moses was stripped of everything that the Lord could appear to him as an 80-year-old who could only mumble, he could only speak the language of sheep. You know, the Lord could reveal himself to Moses in that burning bush as the I am. And Moses certainly needed the Lord for everything. Right? He needed the Lord now to be his wisdom, to be his speech, and you know, he to be his confidence. He was not confident. He couldn't. He argued with the Lord. You know, Lord, I can't even speak. It got to a point where the Lord was so frustrated. He was like, "Well, why don't you bring Aaron then? He can speak." You know, from that moment until the day of his death, the Lord was his I am. In every circumstance, right? And when you read the story of Moses, and we're not going to go through it because you guys all know Moses' story. When he stood before the Pharaoh, the Lord was his I am. When he faced Pharaoh's armies in the wilderness, the Lord was his I am. When he faced the angry and whiny Israelites in the wilderness, the Lord was his I am. And when you read through these scriptures, these last 40 years of Moses' life were actually quite action-packed. Right? In fact, most of Exodus covers that. I think the first two chapters cover the first 80 years of his life, and then from there on, it talks about all the mighty things he could do. And it was only because the Lord had stripped away all of his flesh, and he had to completely rely on the Lord, even for the words that came out of his mouth, it was then that the Lord could do mighty things through him. And it's the same with us. When we allow the Lord to strip away the things in our lives, then he can do the mighty things, things we could never have imagined. You know, I'll share throughout the weekend my own experiences, I think as an encouragement to maybe some of the younger ones, but the Lord has led me and from place to place, from high school to college, to grad school, to a postdoc, to a career here in New York. When I look back, I really marvel because the Lord has taken me places that I could never have imagined. And with each stage of my life, there was always some stripping, some tearing away of the flesh. And it's always painful when the Lord strips stuff away from your life. But in the end, you find a person who is fully dependent upon the Lord. And think that's a beautiful thing. And it's something that the Lord can use. So, you know, when we get to the end of Moses' life, he was actually someone who was really full of praise and full of worship. If you read the end of Deuteronomy, in his final prayers, he speaks of God as his refuge, his victory, his sword, his shield, his joy, his power, his sustenance, his protection, his food and drink, his rock, his abundance, his portion, his speech. You find all these things, you know, his inheritance and righteousness. These are all things found in that final prayer of Moses. And the Lord is now his faithfulness, his justice, and so many other things. I only listed some of the things as I was reading through that final prayer of Moses, that final praise of Moses before he passes away. And in all these individual items, you see how the Lord was his I Am. You know, what a testimony of his life that at the end of his life, it says, his eye was not dim, nor was his strength gone. It speaks of this 120-year-old man. Can you imagine someone that old and yet his eyes were not dim? You know, I'm like 40s now, and I was telling Rebecca during the weekend conference, I think I need bifocals now. I'm starting to do this. Maybe Justin helped me out with that. But Moses, at 120, his eyes had not dimmed. His strength had not gone. You know, what a testimony of a man who knew God as his great I Am. And, you know, one of my favorite psalms is Psalm 90. And in here, Moses declares how the Lord is his dwelling place in all generations. He says, before the mountains were brought forth, thou hast formed the earth and the world. Even from eternity to eternity, thou art God. You know, Moses was someone who knew God. And I'm hoping that we will come to a fuller knowledge of who he is. And I'm hoping this weekend we will focus on this theme, knowing him. There's that song that goes, you are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. You guys know that hymn. You know, when we know our Lord as the I Am in our lives, he naturally becomes our all in all. Like the hymn we sang, Jesus only, Jesus only, Jesus ever, Jesus all in all.